Welcome to the Truth Business Network radio program. My name is Chris Roloff. I'm in the studio with you today. We're hanging out. And with me is Ron Carlson, producing the radio program. He's the one who plays that wonderful music that I enjoy so much. And sitting to my right here in the radio studio is Joel Smith as well. Joel, you're our normal co-host, but today you're the guest as well.
Yeah, it feels great.
You wear it well.
I get to sit in the middle seat this time.
That's right. You're considerably closer to me.
Right.
Normally we bookend our guest.
Yeah.
But you're now in the hot seat. So welcome to the broadcast today. We're going to talk about time management. It's you know, next to procrastination, it's probably one of those things that there's a lot of books on. And I've often joked that I'm going to write a book on procrastination. And it's going to have about 10 pages of content, and the rest of the book is going to be empty because nobody will finish reading it. But
that's true.
But it'll sell, and that's the point. So yeah, you know, when it comes to time management, it's something that everybody struggles with. It's something that everybody wants to manage. And my hope with today's program is that people can kind of see into your brain, Joel, because you and I have known each other for a while, and I think you're one of these guys who really gets time management in a way that breaks everything open. It really changes stuff. And so we're going to talk about that today. So why don't we get started talking about that? Let's talk about this. Let me ask you this. How did you get involved or interested in time management? Is this something that you always cared about, or did you start caring about it at some point?
Well, I think, you know, some people are naturally bent towards being a little bit more efficient than others. And I think I've always been somewhat efficient, but for me, it came out of necessity. You know, you get into the service industry, you start leading restaurants, and there's just so much that has to happen in such a short amount of time.
Right.
And then so you learn how to prioritize, you know, so that's part of it. But the other part of it then, too, is to learn how to manage your thoughts and manage your priorities and what's most important to you. And really, I think this is why time, you know, when you bring up time management, so many people's heads start to ache because it's so complicated in so many ways, because what we think we're doing is we're managing time, but we're really not. You can't manage time. You know, time floats the same speed always.
Right, right.
And you only have a certain amount of time. And so we really do have to manage our priorities. And so so I think, you know, I think when it comes to time management, we just have to shift our brains to a whole different way of thinking.
Yeah, because like you said, you're trying to, if you think about time management as something, if you think about time as something that we can manage, we're really chasing windmills hill, right? I mean, this is, you said it well, time isn't something that you can hold on to. Time has been defined, Ben Franklin actually defined time as the passing of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something that you can hold on to, but it's happening.
Right.
It is happening. And so we can't control that.
Right. And if you want, you know, if you want time to be the passing of your life, then you have to think of it like that. And you have to ask yourself, well, what do I want my life to consist of?
Right.
And what do I want my life not to consist of?
Right.
You know, because if you don't proactively think through what do I want my life or my time to consist of, the default is it's going to consist of whatever happens reactively, you know, or just
right.
By default.
You yeah. Know? And then that's the old floating down the river, right? You're
right.
Just in an inner tube floating down the river and we'll see what happens.
Yep. Yeah. And so for me, I think I really started to understand a little bit more when I started to study God's word. For me, that made a huge difference. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, at least on this topic particularly, is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
Yeah.
And there's this idea about time management that if we want to be highly successful, we've got to squeeze more into our time, right? So we have to squeeze more things into our time.
Hmm.
And I don't think that's right. We can't squeeze more in because you have to prioritize. There's sometimes we're trying to squeeze things into a time that it doesn't have any place to be squeezed into, you know?
Right.
And you know, when we're constantly working and we're trying to throw work and, you know, we're trying to take care of that when we should be focusing on our children and we should be focusing on our marriage or we should be doing this or that.
Right.
And it could be the other way around too, where we, we're dealing with family problems when we're supposed to be focusing on our work.
Right.
It could be that well. So there needs to be some boundaries in place.
Well, I've shared this story before. When I started in radio about 15 years ago and was a manager of a radio station in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it was a small radio station, and my wife and I worked together, and one of the biggest challenges that I experienced in that was we talked about home at the radio station. We talked about the radio station at home. And that really drove me crazy because it was backwards. We were talking about the wrong things at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up just saying we can't work together was the solution. But I still have that similar problem. And you're telling me it's not really a time man. Why was I doing that? What's my problem?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a shrink, Chris. But, you know, so in the Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, kind of a main theme for this section is there's a time for everything.
Yeah.
There's a time. And that kind of blows my mind a little bit because it seems like we don't have time for so much. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times during the course of a week do you hear somebody say, well, I don't have time for that, or who has time for that, or I don't know if I can squeeze that in, or whatever the case is. Well, here we've got... Here we've got Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, saying, hey, there's time for everything. And so we have to try to figure that out. What does that mean? There's a time for everything. And I'm going to read a few of these here so that you kind of get an idea of what God's telling us here. But he says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. It says, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build. And it goes on with several other things. And they're contrasting. In a lot of ways, there's contrasting. They're saying, hey, we're not going to always just be planting. You know, sometimes we're going to sow, and sometimes we're going to reap. And sometimes we're going to do this, and sometimes we're going to do that. Well, if you're going to have two different things, you've got to have a boundary in place. There's got to be something that tells you, okay, this needs to come to an end, and this other thing needs to begin. Okay, so there has to be a boundary. And I think so often in the business world, or in the, whether you're a housewife at home and you're trying to manage all the tasks and chores, or you're a CEO of a company, or whatever you are, a delivery driver, it doesn't matter. Your tasks can blend together if you're not careful. And it can all become one, you know, cesspool of stuff to do that's unorganized. And so for me, when it comes to time management, it starts with this. It starts with what I call compartmentalization. So when I talk to people or coach people about their time, we really kind of focus on compartmentalizing. So what does it mean to compartmentalize? It means to rope off, or to put a hedge around something and protect it for an intentional outcome. And so, like in Ecclesiastes here, you know, where Solomon's saying there's a time to be born and a time to die. And there's a time to kill, and there's a time to heal. And it's true. And so I did a presentation a few years ago where I talked a little bit about this topic, and kind of used the same pattern as Ecclesiastes. And so I want to give you a few of these. So
yeah.
in the business world, I'm going to use this. There is a time to – so there's a time to work and a time to play. There's a time to plan and a time to take action. There's a time to speak and a time to listen. There's a time to encourage, and there's a time to discipline, a time to search, and a time to be content. And I've got several others, but the idea is that when we're organizing our work time, our work week, you know, many of us work 40 or 50 hours a week or whatever it is, and sometimes we work way too much because we're not compartmentalizing. We're not making sure the most important things are getting done first. And it's true. We need to figure out what it's time for. You know, for instance, in my business, sometimes we really focus on training somebody, getting somebody trained up, okay? And then it might come about that this person isn't the person that we need to have in our company. It's starting to come light. And so it changes. So it's time to stop training this person. It's time to start correcting this person possibly, or trying to rehab this person,
right?
Or,
right.
And it might eventually come to the point where we need to replace this person,
right?
So that time changes,
right? Right.
And so we have to be able to compartmentalize in all areas of our business in order to be effective.
Yeah, We're talking about time management with Joel Smith. He's here in studio with us on 99.3 FM. And you said a myriad of things that are really exciting to me. One of the things you talk about is compartmentalizing time. Now, we're both men here, so in all fairness, guys' brains tend to be boxy. They tend to be square. We tend to think in boxes. We can go in and out of things in our mind. I can start thinking about this and I'm there. And it's hard for us to connect different things. And one of the challenges, maybe if I'm understanding you right, is from a time management perspective, if we're not pre-planning when we're going to be in those boxes, if we're not taking the time to say from this time to this time, I'm going to be in this box, and then really putting boundaries around that, that's when we get lost. That's when we get things out of control. When you're sitting at the I need to be doing my paperwork box, and I'm, you know, talking on the phone with a client. Mm-hmm. Well, those are both things that are important, right? To talk to a client on the phone. But if we're in our paperwork box, as an example, we need to be in our paperwork box, and we need to stay inside that. Is that? Am I oversimplifying it? Am I missing it? Or is that close?
Well, I don't know if you can oversimplify it, because it really does need to be simplified as much as possible.
Okay.
You know, and so we're so often choosing between two or more really good things that we need to be doing, but we're choosing less important things over more important things.
Well, and honestly, you know, there is a we talk about this, and I think we've talked about this in other ways. When stressful times in our lives come up and we're stressed, that stress pushes us to think about the most enjoyable thing, which may not be what's really important anyway.
It might just be your favorite thing.
Or
relief. Sometimes stress pushes you towards just instant relief. And maybe it's instant relief because you're trying to make up for not prioritizing things
absolutely
correctly to begin with. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And you're looking for that relief. I mean, how many times are people on social media looking for relief? They're just flipping through their social media page or the social media app just to relieve the stress that they're feeling. So is it fair and right to understand that if we do these things, if we compartmentalize our time and we create boundaries around it, that will be less stressful? That sounds like high hopes, but is that true?
I think it would be less negative stress. Stress isn't always bad. Stress can be a motivator.
Mm.
You know, for instance, you can use stress positively to get to help you think right, so you get on track
sure.
the right way. You can think through future consequences of something if you don't get after it, and that can motivate you in a positive way. But yeah, it can be stressful. It can cause negative stress, and it can cause positive stress as well.
You know, we're talking about time management today here at 99.3 FM. I'm Chris, the voice you're hearing on the other end. That's Joel Smith, and we're in the studio today here in Des Moines, Iowa, to talk with you about time management. And this is a Christian radio station. And so you might be thinking, why are they talking about time management at a Christian radio station? I have a sticker on my laptop that was given to me by a speaker who was here in Des Moines. He'll probably be coming back at some point. And the sticker on the keyboard of my computer says, "What does God want me to do right now?" And that was a thing that really struck home with me, because when he presented on that topic and he talked about that, I realized that God does want you to do something right now. And that thing that he wants you to do right now means that you can't also do something else. It's a statement of priority. It's a statement that says, right now, God wants me to do this thing, and so I'm going to focus on doing this thing. I'm going to set boundaries and walls around that, and I'm going to take control of this time that I have with this priority. And I have yet to fully apply that, but there are times when I see that and I go, you know what? This is a statement that says, God wants me to do this. What's the most important thing for me to do right now? And I'm going to do that.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think it's interesting when you look at how God views time. You know, in Genesis, when he took 6 days to create everything, and then he took a rest.
Mm.
And he compartmentalized that. He said,
yeah,
I'm going to rest. I'm not going to do anything. He didn't just slow down and kind of take it a little bit easier and just create some stuff, but not as much as the first 6 days. He said, I'm going to rest. And not only that, but he didn't really blur the other days too much either. He had specific things in mind each day that he wanted to create.
Right.
And so we have to kind of look at that too. Our week is kind of divided up into that. There's a time when we need to really work hard, and there's a time when we really need to rest hard. I don't mean rest easy. I mean rest hard, like intentionally hard. We need to set aside time and be bold to do that. And, you know, we miss that sometimes. It's so easy to blur those lines and to take your work into the weekend to invade your private time with work. And sometimes it means making hard decisions, like letting people know, hey, I'm going to be unavailable at this time, or whatever the case might be, or letting your family know that, hey, I'm going to be available during this time because I'm focusing on my work.
Right.
And I don't have time to play on the swing set today.
Right.
Because I'm dealing with a client, or I'm dealing with this, I've got an important meeting. But then also on the weekend, on Sunday, it's like, you know what, this is swing set time.
Right.
I'm not dealing with a problem at work at this time. So
right.
It's interesting. It's,
you know, and that's the thing, is prioritizing your time. And that, you said this a little bit earlier, Joel, and that is that when we think about time management, too often we're thinking about managing the thing that we can't control. We're not in control of our time. You know, the Bible says, you know, 72 years maybe, and that's all you've got. You've got what you have. You have the life that you've been given, the time that you've been given. So it's more about prioritizing the time that you do have in front of you, or the expected time that you have. And getting a good handle of this will make us better, because, you know, what you hate to do is be that guy on the weekend with his kids at the park working on emails on his mobile phone.
Right.
That's the result of someone who didn't properly manage their time or prioritize their time.
Well, and that is a person that's just not in control of what they're doing. Other factors outside of them are in control of their life.
Get in control. That's what we're going to try to talk about. We're going to talk about time management here on 99.3 FM. This is the Truth Business Network radio program, and we're glad that you are with us. Stick around. Any time for that. I don't have any time for that. You've said it, I've said it, we've all said it. Every one of us have said once, twice, maybe even today, I don't have time to do that. And then some smart aleck says, you got all the same time as anybody else. There's 24 hours in a day and everybody got the same time. That's how that is. And
there's that Texas accent.
Yeah, that's that Texas accent coming up. I'm Chris Roloff. This is the Truth Network radio program called the Truth Business Network. We have Joel Smith in the studio with us. He's a John C. Maxwell business coach, and he is a time management guru, I think. I love the way that he thinks about time. It's been very helpful to me. And we're having this radio program today to talk about time management, because it is a prevailing issue that is before us. I mean, there are just tons of books written about this. I mean, you do any kind of internet search on time management and you will be inundated with people who will tell you, or attempt to tell you, the answers to the question. But I took this note in the first segment. Most of the time we say, I don't have time for that. But I wrote down, there is a time for that.
Mm-hmm.
You do have time for that. But maybe the time for that isn't just, it's just not right now.
Right.
So that means if that thing comes to you and you say, I don't have time to do that right now, that's okay. But there is time to do that thing, unless it's something that you should just never do.
Right.
If it's something worth doing, then make time to do it. And then when you're doing that thing, don't do anything else.
Right.
Wow, that was really a lot of ambiguous words. But you get the idea, I think, right?
Well, and so the idea that there's a time for everything, think about, you know, if you're a messy person, our family happens to be, we're a little bit messy in our
sure.
home, so we're not as organized as we could be. And so it's not unusual for me to walk into a room and think, gosh, there's just not a place to put something.
Sure.
But what if we were to organize the room, put things on shelves, alphabetize it or whatever, and put it and organize it and put it in a place that it needs to be, all of a sudden, and everybody out there knows that when you organize things and you get your spring cleaning done and you clean out the garage and you get things organized, all of a sudden you find way more space than you ever thought you were going to have.
Sure.
And so the idea that there's a time for everything, it's kind of like there's a space for everything. If you just get your stuff organized, you'll find more space. And it's the same thing with your calendar. It's the same thing with your daily routines. When you can get it organized and prioritize things and throw out the things that need to be thrown out and keep the most important things and hold on to them, know where they're at, you can prioritize your time and you can prioritize your life.
Right.
So many people lose so many things in their home because they're disorganized. Well, so many people lose opportunities in their lives because they're not organized also.
Right.
They don't, they fail to seize the moment, really important moments in their lives because they're busy doing less important things. They're frantically running around with their hair on fire, as my friend Bob would say.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important that if we're not going to be that person running around missing good opportunities, we have to you know, we talked about control a little bit. I'm not really crazy about the word control necessarily. I like the term intentionality.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be intentional on what we want the shelves to look like, on how organized we want them to be. We have to organize in a way that makes sense for an outcome.
Let me pull you back just a little bit.
Sure.
What's the difference in your mind between control and intentionality? How would you compare and contrast those things?
Well, control, I don't think, is fully achievable. We can't control what's going to happen in time. There's so many, variables out there. You don't know who's going to barge through your door and have a big problem for you to have to try to deal with, or you don't know how things are going to play out because it's contingent upon other things. Intentionality says, this is the outcome and I'm going to get there. There's a number of ways I could get there, but I am going to get there. And I'm going to get there by plugging away a little bit by little bit. I'm going to have to make some adjustments. I'm going to have to switch this and switch that, but I'm going to need to stay focused on what's most important. And if I can stay focused on what's more important and be intentional about what the outcome is, I can get through and I can make adjustments and I don't have to control all of those variables. I can take those variables as they come and I can dodge some. I can change some. I can do some things. I can push some aside because I'm focusing on more important things, whatever that is. If we're intentional about what we're doing,
right,
we don't have to necessarily be in control of anybody else.
Well, you know, that's incredibly helpful because I'm thinking about this right now, and one of the biggest struggles that I face, and I'm sure that our listeners are, excuse me, thinking the same thing. When I try to be in control of a particular moment in my day, I get interrupted. I think every person in management, every leader in any business, in any organization, even in their family, I just said the key word, didn't I, in family. Every mom went, yeah, right, you're going to be in control of your day? That's not going to happen. So there's a big difference between being in control then, if I understand you correctly, saying from this time to this time, I'm going to have total control over this issue, as opposed to saying from this time to this time, I'm going to be intentional to get this done. There's going to be interruptions. There's going to be free-flowing things. There's going to be things that come in and come out of that. But we know during this time, the goal is to do this. That's incredibly different. That's very liberating. Mm-hmm. And that relieves some stress in and of itself, I think.
Oh, and frustration. You know, yeah. if you're rigid with your time and you've got everything scheduled out just the way you want it done, you're just really setting yourself up for some frustration.
Failure, frustration, irritation, yep. You're going to lash out at other people. I mean, I can attest to that. Some of my more grumpier days are days when I tried to be organized. It didn't go well. I got too many interruptions. Either I interrupted myself or I was interrupted by other things. And then I'm just a grumpy Gus.
Sure.
But because what my focus was on trying to control the time, was on trying to control the things that happen in the day, which I can't be in control of. Instead of being intentional, today I'm going to do these things. I'm going to get these things done today, and I'm going to be intentional about them, and I'm going to set time aside to say, during this time, I'm going to work on this thing that I'm going to get done. During this time, I'm going to work on getting this thing getting done. And you may get interrupted, but that seems like you can be a little bit more free-flowing, and that seems to work in a much more modern work environment because, you know, very few of us work in a factory where we can just clock in, clock out, go to this thing, go to that station, go to this station, go to that station. A lot of times we're moving and living in a free-flowing environment where chaos is happening all around us, and trying to control that, for at least for me, creates an incredible amount of frustration. My name is Chris Roloff. We've got Joel Smith in the studio with us here at 99.3 FM. This is the Truth Business Network radio program, and Joel and I are just having a conversation about time management. And really what this is really about compartmentalizing and prioritizing your life so that you make sure the important things in your life are getting done.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we're talking about. We're talking about this because as Christian men and as Christian businessmen, we want to be excellent. We're a part of the Truth Business Network, which is a movement of Christian business people who recognize their need for God and need for each other as we're equipped to serve our customers with excellence and live out our faith with confidence. And we get together for lunch every Wednesday from 12 to 1 at the Pizza Ranch in Urbandale. And we network together, we meet together, we build one another up for those purposes. And this radio program is kind of an outgrowth of that group. And Joel and I are both members, and we'd love to have you this Wednesday join us. Let's take a step back if you'd like to. We can look at Ecclesiastes 3. We're not making this stuff up. When we say there's time for that, this wasn't our idea. You talked about Genesis, where God actually made, there were time. There was a time to build this, there was a time to build this, there was a time to build this, and there was a time to rest. And Ecclesiastes has some great reminders of that as well.
Oh, yeah. Ecclesiastes is great. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. More particularly verses 1 through 8. Go check it out. It's great. Check it out. Pray on it. Think through it and look at it from the lens of compartmentalization.
Yeah.
Apply it to your calendar. Apply it to your day.
Right.
Figure out what you need to be doing and what those compartments are. I think that's really important.
Right.
It's interesting. Last week I spent 5 days in Las Vegas at a convention for Papa Murphy's, for the company that I'm a franchisee for. And there were 600 franchisees there, a lot of business owners there. And I got to mingle and network a lot and talking with a lot of people. And it's interesting. You see, there's some really great business owners out there, and then there's some that are struggling.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. And one thing I've noticed is that in the business world, so many of the struggling business owners are people that really fail to compartmentalize. They really fail to do that. I got into a lot of different conversations about a lot of things in our business with people, and there were times where, I got into a conversation about coaching, about spending time with your managers and talking through things and compartmentalizing that time, where every so often I would have a time scheduled where I'm going to sit down for 2 hours and meet with a manager. And I had an owner say, So you have 8 stores, so how many people do you meet with? How in the world do you find time to meet with all those people? And I just said, well, because I prioritize it. I make it a priority. And I said, do you have one-on-ones with your managers? Do you sit down with them and listen to them and ask them questions and get their thoughts on it? And he goes, man, I wish I could if I had time. Well, this is a matter of priority, because there are people that have a lot less stores than me that don't have time for anything.
Right.
You know, and so if you can, and there are other owners, I know owners that have way more stores than me too, and they've got lots of time, So how is that? It's not really about time. It's about priorities.
It is. And, you know, I said that at the beginning of this segment, that oftentimes we say, I don't have time for that. And I wrote down here in my notes, there is a time for that. If it's something that is important to do, there is time for that. And you just make time to do that thing, whatever that priority is. And that's what it really comes down to. I think when I say out loud, I don't have time for that, I'm either saying I don't actually want to do the thing, which may be the truth, or it might be I really want to do that, but I haven't made it a priority and said no to other things. And we're going to talk about this later in the program, because I think boundaries is a really huge issue on this. You know, boundaries are kind of a controversial thing to some people. They're very scary to some people, because it actually means we have to say no to things. It means we actually have to say no to some stuff. And right. And some of us are people pleasers, you know, and some people just want to say yes to everything. And then what happens is we're not able to prioritize our time. We're not able to say yes to the things that are important, because we're trying to please everybody and we're not setting up healthy boundaries. And that's part of compartmentalizing, isn't it?
That is because you can't move on to the next compartmentalized item until you say no to the one you're in.
Right. You have to create those boundaries. What are some ways to create boundaries? What are some tips on that?
Well, we've used this verse on this program a lot, but the Bible says where there's no vision, people perish.
Okay.
And so, first of all, it's really hard to compartmentalize what's most important if you don't know what you're aiming for.
Right.
What are you shooting for down the road? So I think part of it is vision. You know, for me, I try to coach and spend time with my managers, and I prioritize that because I want them to grow and to be at a better level tomorrow than they are today. and I want them to grow into something much greater for their career. And there's no way to do that unless you intentionally have an idea what you want them to become and help them grow to what they want to become. And so for me, it's just about having a vision of a better company with better leaders, more equipped leaders. And not only that, but I want them to replicate it.
Yeah.
I want them to be leaders of leaders.
That I think that is so huge. I mean, if you talked about the difference between control and intentionality, and I think that's what this reminds me of. You can't have intentionality if you don't have a vision. You can try to have control without a vision,
mm-hmm.
but then you get frustrated and you've set up boundaries maybe, but people don't like you and you don't like people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a vision, you can be intentional and go somewhere. That's
right.
Really what it's all about. It's about setting your face towards something and moving towards that thing, whether it's the smallest thing or the biggest thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned boundaries, and Dr. Henry Cloud writes the book Boundaries.
Yes.
That many people listen, and I love that book. I've read that book several times. And boundaries simply keep the bad out when you need to keep the good in. And sometimes it keeps, you know, it just keeps you on track. It protects you.
Right.
You know, your boundaries protect you from being harmed.
Right.
Or your time being harmed, or your time being wasted.
Or your priorities being
yep.
wasted. You're losing that priority. Because if you've really made something a priority, then you really need to protect it. You need
yep.
to say, today, the biggest priority is to do whatever that is.
Yep.
And be vigilant to get that done. And as things come and go into our day, that's going to happen. And being able to roll with those punches is possible when we have a vision, I think, when we've got direction and we're moving in a particular direction. You're listening to 99.3 FM, The Truth. This is the Truth Business Network radio program. Joel Smith is in the studio with me, and I'm Chris Roloff. Ron Carlson played that great music just for you. You know, in today's modern work environment, oftentimes we feel like our days remind us of that vaudeville act. We've all seen the vaudeville act. There's a guy on stage and he's got all these poles and they're kind of wobbly poles. And at the top of every one of these poles, he's spinning plates. And we're just running around trying to spin all these plates. You can see the guy on the stage, right? And he's just running around. There's wacky music playing. And he's just, you know, trying to spin all these plates. You know, I think in our modern work environment, that's kind of how most of us feel if we're in management, leadership, any job that we do.
We feel like juggling clowns.
We do feel like juggling clowns. We feel like that. And you know, when somebody comes on the radio, like we are here at 99.3 in Des Moines, Iowa, on the Truth Network, you know, people think, you're telling me I have to manage this. I've got to get in control of these spinning plates. And I think that's where this gets really fascinating, is when we think about time management, we think about these things, instantly our brains all go to those spinning plates. But you have no idea how many hats I wear. You have no many things I have responsibility for. I just have so many things I've got to get done in a day. And we were talking before we went to the break about boundaries, but there's another aspect of this. Yeah, it's fun to watch that guy on stage spinning all those plates, but maybe we have to figure out some of those plates need to stop spinning, and we need to take them and set them down.
Oh, sure.
And that can be really hard to say no to something, and that's part of creating healthy boundaries, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's so many things we could be doing, so many plates we could be spinning, and some of those plates are just more important than other plates.
Right.
You know, some of the plates are unnecessary, or maybe they're unnecessary in the moment, but they might be necessary in a different season. And so we mentioned boundaries, and
yeah.
Dr. Henry Cloud is the author of Boundaries. He also writes another great book called Necessary Endings.
Yes.
And this is – it's actually my favorite book. I've read this book a whole bunch of times, and I was reading it last night even. But so the idea is that there are necessary endings, and somehow that doesn't play in our brains sometimes, that endings aren't necessary. We can just do other things also. We can just keep adding to it, or we, you know, whatever the case is, or we don't necessarily need to stop and throw this thing away. We can just keep it for later,
yeah,
you know, whatever it is. But so there's a segment in the book that he talks about. He uses farming as a really good illustration. So he says, okay, so in farming you can break this up into seasons.
Right.
Says in the winter time, you know, this is your preparation time. You're preparing for your planting. You know, you're preparing for sowing. You know, so you're doing the things. You're fixing tractors. You're gathering seed. I don't know. I'm not a farmer, really,
right?
But so you're preparing. And then in the springtime, this is your planting time. This is where you're sowing the seed. You're focused on that. You've already fixed your tractors, so you're not focusing on your tractors. You're focusing on your seeds, and you're focusing on that. And then the summertime, after you've sown your seeds, now you're tending to it. You're making sure there's no weeds and insects, and you're protecting, you know, what you've sown. And so you're doing that. You're no longer sowing any seeds. It's already been done. And then, of course, in the fall, this is your harvest time, you know, and you're reaping the benefits that you've been working on, you know, for the first seasons. And so so when you look at that, there's an ending to every one of those seasons.
Right.
You know, there's when you're done sowing and you've moved on to the next part.
Right.
When you're done tending, you move on to the harvest. But sometimes we get this mixed up in our world.
Right.
Sometimes we're trying to reap and reap and reap and reap, and we haven't spent enough time sowing.
Sure.
Well, we need to sow. We need to get out there. We need to get after it. And, you know, in the business world, sometimes it's like that. Think of a business owner, a new business owner. There's a lot of people that have successful businesses, and they've done it for 20, 30 years. And you look at that them, and you think, wow, gosh, look where they're at. Well, they're in a season.
Right.
But they weren't always in that season. They didn't open up their business, and they didn't open up their business in the fall.
Right.
You know, they opened up their business in the winter, and they prepared for it, and then they sowed their seed, and then they tended it, and then they reaped down the row. And so, you know, marriages can be the same way. You know, marriages that are healthy, they go through that time. You know, you get counseling when you need to get counseling. You consult with people, whatever you need. You tend, and your marriage can be healthy down the road. Same way with your business. You grow. No one's going to just come out and get instant success. You've got to have seasons of things.
Right.
You know? And so I just had a meeting with a manager, one of my managers, just yesterday. And she's got some dreams, some things that she wants to do. She wants to,
awesome,
to teach, and she wants to teach leadership and do some corporate things down the road. And I told her, okay, your season that you need to enter into right now is self-development. You need to read, read, read. You need to listen to smart people. You need to develop yourself before you ever try to develop anybody else.
Right.
That's the season she needs to hit.
Yeah.
You know, if she just wanted to try to go out now and try to convince people to hire her or, you know, whatever it is, it's not going to happen because she hasn't developed herself. She hasn't gone into that sowing stage.
Right.
And so I think whether we look at it through the course of a lifetime or over the course of a couple years or months or days, however it is, there is a season for everything.
Right.
You know, there's a time for everything, but we need to follow God's plan in this.
Right.
You know, I like the idea of the seasons of life as well. When you think about that, how you go through life and you're just in a different season and you move on. You can't stay in the same season forever.
Well, you know, it's incredibly helpful. You're listening to the voice of Joel Smith here at 99.3 FM. This is the Truth Business Network radio program, and we're so glad that you're here with us thinking through these things, time management, right? Prioritizing our life, compartmentalizing the way that we're thinking. And we're doing this because, one, God's Word actually instructs us to do that. I think the most common referred to passage in this broadcast today has been Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where we remember the old bird song, right? There is a season, turn, turn. That's not even close to how it goes. I'm sorry, Ron, for ruining that. But there's a season for everything. There is a time for sowing. There's a time for reaping. There's a time for war. There's a time to heal. There's a time for everything, right? And that is true. But if we try to blend all those things together, then we get frustration and irritation and I'm excited to figure out how to get good at this because I'm one of those guys that says, well, I don't have time for that. And I think in this process, in this radio program, I think what I'm being challenged with is instead of saying I don't have time for that, I have to say, here's the thing. Do I want to do that? Yes or no? And if I want to do that thing, then I make the time for that, because there is a time for that. There is a time to do whatever that thing is that you want to do. If that time, if that thing you want to do is you want to spend more time with your kids, there is time for that. But that means that you have to prioritize to say, this is the time I'm going to spend with my kids.
You have time to do all of the things that you want to do, as long as you say no to all the things that, that you don't want to do. Or maybe not want to do isn't the right way to put it.
Sure.
But the things that don't fit into your vision.
Right. Well, and you talked about necessary endings. Henry Cloud wrote a book called Necessary Endings. But you talked about it in the context of seasons. Hmm. Every season has an end. That's one of the things to remember. Just like your work day has an end. You know, there is a time where you need to be done doing that task.
Yeah,
and you need to be done.
And you may fall into temptations. You know what? If I just stick around a little bit longer, I can get a little bit more done. But you got to say no. You just got to say, nope, my wife wants me home, and she will be grateful when I get home in time for supper.
Absolutely. And the way that you solve that is not by getting frustrated and say, just if I can have a little bit more, if I can have a little bit more. Instead, it's the next time, tomorrow, be intentional at that time that you've set aside to do this work. Work hard at the time that you're supposed to do the work. And that's when you're creating a rhythm of setting up healthy boundaries, saying no to things, saying yes to things, and actually starting to prioritize our lives. I think that if we get some of this stuff in our heads and we start to really meditate on that and read Ecclesiastes chapter 3 with that in mind, thinking about let God speak to you and say, God, what are the things I need to be doing? What are the things that I need to be saying yes to and no to, and how do I compartmentalize my time? Because we can do that to the glory of God, and then when people are in your presence, they sense a real, present, authentic person in their presence. Because you've said, I'm going to be doing this right now, and I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to do this, and that's a great life. We've got some more with Joel Smith when we come back here on 99.3 FM, The Truth. Stick around. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to, you can hammer out a text to the Ace Hardware of Ankeny and Johnston text line at 515-727-5842 if you've got a question or a comment. Listening to 99.3 FM, The Truth. This is 99.3 FM, The Truth. My name is Chris Roloff. I'm in the studio, and I'm so glad that you've taken the time to hang out with us today. And you've taken us with you. You know, 93% of Americans still listen to radio in their car, and I am so thankful that there are folks driving around Central Iowa right now hanging out with me and hanging out with Joel Smith. We're in the studio. We're talking about time management, and a thing that came up in our last segment was this word authentic. Or being an authentic person. You know, if we're present and we're authentic, people can tell.
Mm-hmm.
They know when you're with someone, people can tell if you're really there.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Right? People can tell if you're in the room, but you're not really there. And part of the problem with that, too, is if you're in the room and you appear to be really there, but you're being really fake. Right? And so we're not being authentic. So talk to me a little bit about that. That struck you as interesting, being authentic. Talk to me about that, Joel.
Sure. Well, I think it's important that we're basically authentic just means, as our bumper music would say, standing in the light.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I want to be in the light, you know. And so so being authentic basically just means being in the light and being honest and transparent to other people, authentic with other people. But maybe even more importantly than that, it's being authentic and transparent with yourself. I think that's important. I think a lot of people lie to themselves. They have a hard time facing the truth about something, and so they'll keep this false idea going in their head. Maybe they're just not saying no to something that they really know they need to be saying no to, but they can't. So they keep making excuses for not saying no to something, and they can't move on to the next season because they like what's in the current season or whatever it might be, and so they just can't say no. And so being honest with yourself, I think, is the beginning. You know, for instance, there's just a lot of things that we need to change about ourselves, things that need to come to an end about ourselves. It might be character issues. It might be personality things. It might be the things that we have. It might be that we have a garage filled with stuff that we should throw away. It could be whatever it is. We need to be honest with ourselves and say, okay, this has to come to an end. And one of the things when it comes to work, and especially if you work in the context of a calendar, like lots of meetings, lots of tasks, things to do, is we tell ourselves we're going to get to this when we get to it, and then we never get to it.
Mm.
And so one thing you can do is to be honest with yourself. If you're not going to get to it, don't keep telling yourself you're going to do it. It's like the old thing with, you know, how do you organize your desk? You divide everything up into three categories, an A category, B category, C category. Then you throw all your C category things away.
Yeah, yeah.
You just throw it in the garbage because you're not going to get to it anyway.
Right, right.
And I
right.
think sometimes we need to be honest with ourselves. Like, there's only so many, you know, minutes in a day. And
right.
figure out what's the most important. Do those things. Be honest with ourselves about our limitations and what we're not going to get to and what we shouldn't be getting to anyway. And stick to that.
Yeah.
It can be that way relationally too. There are some people in our lives that make a huge difference in our lives. You know, they build us up, they help us, they're the people, the difference makers. Okay.
Right,
and
right.
then there's the vast majority of people in our lives that we know that make no difference to you. And sometimes we say yes to so many people that bring us down or that have a neutral effect that keep you from spending the time or seeking out the people that make the most difference. So sometimes it could be just going through your contact list or maybe your friends on Facebook and deleting the ones you don't need to be connected with.
Yeah.
You know, we need to say no to people sometimes. Sometimes when opportunities come up, we just need to say, I'm sorry, but I'm not interested in that.
Well, we've been talking with Joel Smith about time management. I think the biggest thing that I learned, how do I summarize it? Make priorities. There is time for that. If that thing is worth doing, there is time for that. Make time for that. Say no to the other stuff and focus on getting those things that are most important done. I think it's a great tip. Thanks for listening to the Truth Business Network radio program. We're here, same time next week.